under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just go wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Welcome back into the show. Third and final hour on this Hump Day Wednesday, March 20th, 2024 edition, Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Dave Ajima reporting in for duty this morning. If I knew there would be no property taxes like others, I'd either build or live in a much nicer home, simulating all manner of jobs, etc. Carpenters, plumbers, builders, cement workers, electricians. This would boost our economy here in Michigan hugely. Absolutely. I know Dave's home. I've been there. I've stayed. Dave hosted me numerous times whenever I have events going on in Grand Rapids area. I have the downstairs basement and bathroom to myself. It's a great house. In-ground pool, all the amenities they've put into the house over the years, but I'm sure they might like a different home. And if he knew he wasn't going to be paying property taxes, you just heard him say it, he'd build a new house. Creating jobs, expanding our economy, you don't need the government doing all these governmental programs. I got another one here that just popped up. This is absolutely amazing. I can't believe that Eric Nesbitt, the Republican Senate Minority Leader, is on board with this, but this is what they're trying to push. Payroll tax capture incentives. The Senate approved legislation today by a party line vote that resurrects and rebrands the Snyder-era Good Jobs for Michigan program, which incentivizes certain businesses by allowing them to keep their income taxes for new employees. Again, part of the SB 579 package. Now they're calling it the High Wage Incentive for Regional Employment. And, of course, the acronym, HIRE. H-I-R-E. You see, what you do is you just use hyphens. Hyphenate a word to make the acronym work. High Wage Incentive for Regional Employment in Michigan. Something that the governor touted in her January State of the State address. The maximum incentive that could be offered through HIRE in Michigan program would be for 10 years of withholding up to 100% of their income tax on new employees. Businesses would be able to keep the money instead of sending it to Lansing. Well, if you can do it for new hires, Don't you think it'd be a good idea to do it for everybody in the state and get rid of the income tax altogether? You get rid of property taxes, you get rid of state income tax. Our state is beautiful. And it would absolutely explode with population wanting to move here. Trades would be forced to come back and work in Michigan. Because right now, they're all down in Florida building brand new residential developments. This past week, we were in Fort Myers. Vicky and I saw probably 5 or 6 brand new residential subdivisions under construction. We visited one and went through the models in Sebring. Manufactured house, little carport with a storage shed, 10 by 12 on the back. They said they could put ramp doors on it for me, for my motorcycle to roll in and out of. Beautiful. They're doing it in Florida. Why can't we do it in Michigan? That callback, we're going to talk about Dominion and everything going on with Stephanie Lambert in the next segment. We'll be right back. Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number three. Joining us on the line right now is Patrick Kobach, longtime friend, former state senator, involved in election integrity, making it now his life's mission, it seems like. He's fully in on this. And Pat, you put a post up on Twitter, the X account, this morning, about 4 hours ago, page 199, regarding the Dominion files. Explain to the people what is going on with this Dominion case, Stephanie Lambert, all the things that are happening here regarding Dominion. Pat, are you there? Got to unmute your microphone. Let's make sure he's still connected. He's there. Just unmute your mic.
Yep, sorry. Had to find the button again. I had some other windows up there to
yes,
go
sir.
Over exactly what we found there. And first, I wanted to give a hat tip to, first of all, Sheriff Darleaf, constitutional sheriff. He's engaged in this for with attorney Stephanie Lambert, and they're the ones who made some pretty damning materials around Dominion internal communications that essentially highlight that Dominion CEO John Polis committed perjury in his testimony before the Michigan Senate back in December of 2020. So in that in support of that assertion, I just encourage all your listeners to go off and go into YouTube and search for or follow my Twitter feed, because I've got the links to this in that Twitter feed. But go in there and listen to the comments made by Dominion CEO John Polis during that Senate testimony under oath. And what he said during that testimony was pretty clear. It was unequivocal. He said, voting systems are by design meant to be used as closed systems that are not networked, meaning that they are not connected to the Internet. Thanks to Stephanie Lambert and Sheriff Darleaf, we have access to internal emails that the Serbian developers for Dominion, which is another topic we can get into, the Serbian developers had an email that was sent back to their other friends out at Dominion. And in it, it asserts that, oh, one more thing, when we are sending election results through Internet from tabulators or RTM, which stands for Results Transfer Manager, this is not closed system anymore. So one of these Dominion employees is telling the truth. The other is not. And I know where I placed my bet.
Well, when we watched that testimony, because they had the testimony online, we watched it ourselves. You and I were texting back and forth, and you said it. I said it right then. John Polis just lied.
I know.
And, but here's the problem. The hearings, not one person was sworn in by Ed McBroom. When I testified in front of the Senate hearing committee, I myself raised my right hand, swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm the one that gave myself the own oath of telling the truth. Those were not technically, without giving an oath, they were not actually being witnesses. They were giving opinion. And I think that's a loophole, because the perjury he committed, the lies he told, wasn't done under oath. And I think that's the loophole, and I think it was done on purpose. That's my opinion, but let's move on. You have got so much information on this Twitter feed and also your website, letsfixstuff.org, for people to look at. Where do you think this information, this particular email on page 199 of the Dominion files, where do you think this is all going to go?
Well, it's definitely going to go into various court cases where Dominion's accusing people such as President Trump and
Mike Lindell,
yeah, Mike Lindell, and sure, all the other lawyers that are being sanctioned for quote unquote disinformation. Well, the folks spreading disinformation are not the people that are getting penalized right now. So this should flip the script on all that. Hopefully it'll play a role in John Eastman's disbarment trial coming up here, and quite a few other, because listen, and this isn't just about them lying about internet connectivity. If they're lying about this and doing so, you know, so arrogantly, frankly, what else are they lying about? Everything needs to be supported by details, and that's the beautiful thing about these detailed emails that have been put out. And I want to give a hat tip out to the folks at Election Integrity Force. They didn't generate any of this information, but they did a good job packaging and making available all the files that were released by Sheriff Leaf on his Twitter feed. That's very useful as well. But, guys, this is you got to read through this information here. When you do, you get the understanding that it's not just the fact that they've been lying about the Internet. They've been lying about the security of these electronic voting systems, period. And I've gone over and found some interesting connected threads. I mean, it's 2,173 pages, so not exactly easy to delve into a lot. But you remember when we were out at the TCF Center, Randy? And
yeah,
what was that? Remember that basic question I kept asking Chris Thomas? Chris, I want to know exactly what the chain of custody is from that individual ballot up to the point where you're reporting results out to the media. I want to know what is your chain of custody.
How is it happening? Give me specifically the motive operandi of how the information's being transmitted. He wouldn't even talk to you about it.
No, he said, I'll get back to you on that. Well, turns out he's actually mentioned in some of these communications regarding that particular topic. Bottom line is he said he didn't know, but he was the one that was actually developing and overseeing that specific chain of custody. And I'm not going to go.
Well, I'm going to go one step further with that conversation. You and I approached the stage where the adjudication screens were, where he was standing up there, and you called him over to us, and you said, hey, Chris, do me a favor. Out of all this long line of high-speed tabulators and computers and the scanners that are scanning the ballots, would you just randomly select one and ask the operator to move the mouse over in the bottom right corner there where the Ethernet connectivity icon is, and just have them hover over it and let's see if it's actually connected to the internet? And he said to you, no, Pat, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, and did I say that to Chris as well? I remember saying that to David Nathan. I don't remember.
You said it to Chris Thomas as well, because you called him over and you said, hey, Chris, come here. And he walked over, looked at you, looked at me. Hey, guys, what's up? And you said exactly that. And the fact that they wouldn't do it proves the fact that they work, because I stood behind those computers and I looked at them, and clear as day, you could see the Ethernet connectivity icon was lit up. And then you got me down under the table there to look at where all the wires were at the end of the table. You know, and remember that oversized modem that they were using to transmit? We could read the Bible underneath there because of all the green blinking lights of data being transmitted.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I am so frustrated. And the bottom line is,
well, the truth is coming out.
It's coming out is what you're saying. And now how will that affect then the upcoming August 6th primary and the November 5th general election if this information is coming out this early, March the 20th here, 2024?
Well, I think he gives extra credence to Mike Lindell's recent file, or it's not Mike's filing. It's the filing by Kerry Lake and Mark Fincham. Out of Arizona. They filed before the 2022 election a lawsuit calling for an injunction against the use of the electronic voting systems in the election. And the courts there incredulously stated that they didn't have standing to do so, even though they were both statewide candidates.
She was running for governor, for God's sakes.
Right, and Mark was running for Secretary of State, and they said that they did not have standing. And they provided all these machine vulnerabilities. You can look them up yourself. If you go to lindellplan.com, you can see the actual filing of the Supreme Court, which references all the previous court filings as well. The evidence is overwhelming. But what gave them the impetus to be able to file it with the Supreme Court is that they added additional evidence recently on the existence of decryption keys being stored in plain text inside the databases on these Dominion election management system servers. Now, that's really, really bad. And when you couple that with the fact that these machines are connected to the internet, now you got it set up so that any bad actor can open the cookie jar to anybody to manipulate the results of the election without detection. And so this all fits together. And this latest petition by Kerry Lake and Mark Fincham with the Supreme Court, with the support of Mike Lindell, calls for what's called a writ of certiorari. And this writ of certiorari essentially is the Supreme Court telling the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, go off and do your job. Stop punting the ball out there and saying that they don't have standing. They have standing, and they have compelling evidence in support of their call for this injunction. And the goal is obviously to get rid of the darn machines and go back into hand counts for this upcoming election. And by the way, before everybody panics and says, you can't do hand counts, it's going to be too expensive, it's going to take too long, that is all balderdash, just like the machines aren't connected to the internet.
Exactly.
We should do this all the time. It's perfectly transparent, which is something the machines aren't. You can't crawl into those stupid Ethernet cables and follow all the electrons around and, and follow the vote tally. You can do that with a physical ballot that is counted by in a bipartisan manner on video. So you don't even need a recount because you're seeing it live with a web feed. So you can actually see the count occur. Imagine how nice it would be and how much confidence you can get in the results of the election if you had that kind of transparency.
Absolutely. Right in front of the camera. Here's the ballot. It doesn't have the person's name on it. It doesn't have the stub on it. You don't even know what ballot number it is. Hold it up in front of the camera. Right there, mark the tally sheet. There's a vote for Trump. There's a vote for Biden. It's that simple. One last question coming in. Do we have enough time to get through the court process to be able to get this implemented for this year's election?
It all depends on the response time of the Supreme Court, frankly. There are other court battles in process right now that could call into question faster. But, you know, and I think it was Argentina when a court came in and ordered a hand count to occur in their election. It took them 4 months to go off and implement that system. And they had the election results the same night for the whole country.
Well, so we could possibly then make sure that this is all done for November, but August 6th could be questionable at this point.
Unfortunately.
Okay. But that's okay, because the primary isn't as important as the general election, especially when you factor the top of the ticket, President of the United States. So, all right, very good. I appreciate the reporting. Thank you for tagging me on these posts, because as I get up every morning to prep for my show, when I see you're tagged me in a story, I'm able to look at it, and that's why I reached out to you and said, hey, you need to come on the show and explain this today. What can people do if they want to help fund this activity through Mike Lindell's efforts? What would you advise people to do?
Go to lindellplan.com. Not only can you read the court petition there, but you can also help support Mike's efforts, because we put together a heck of a lot of solutions that Mike has made available to everybody in the state, from technology like his Courage app and some advocacy apps like CivicLix platform, to services like legal advice and legislative advocacy support. All that stuff isn't free, but Mike pretty much has emptied his kitty out on the table to try to secure our elections. Now it's up for the rest of us to go off and help him out.
Absolutely. Go there and make a donation.
Also support Darleaf and Stephanie Lambert. The only right now they're in the crosshairs because of this release of these internal Dominion emails. And the only way that they succeed and the bad guys succeed in suppressing that information is if we let them bury it. So you can help Dar, you can help Stephanie by sharing that information that was released to everybody, because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had Dar on the show after the dump of the documents, and you know, he didn't want to get into specifics regarding Stephanie, but he basically laid it all out and told us what was coming. And then you've, of course, doing your nerdy, geeky thing, dived into the weeds and read all these 2,173 pages of documents. We appreciate all your work and effort, and thanks for coming on the show today. Give us an update.
All right. Knock them alive, my friend.
God bless you, sir. Bottom of the hour news break. I'm Trucker Randy. He's Patrick Colbeck. We're going to be right back. And we got some other follow-up stories and text messages to get to. So we'll make sure we get to all that. Wrap up the final half hour of today's show. We'll be right back.